I don't have a PowerPoint, so we're going to do it the old school way. And our passage today is Matthew 6, 25 to 34. So if you want to go ahead and get that out with your Pew Bible or your own Bible or your phone, whatever works for you. I'm using the New Living Translation. Hi, Pam. Sorry. Do I have ADD? I don't know. So you can go ahead and get that open and ready to go when we get there. Let me say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much, as others have said, just the fact that we get to be here, that we have that privilege. And Lord, our hearts are kind of heavy with the folks that we know who are suffering right now, especially as we think of people in California with the wildfires and people in Puerto Rico and Houston and Florida, just so many different places of so much devastation in recent weeks and months. Thank you that we can look to you, that no matter what's going on, we know that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that you love us and that you're with us. So speak into our hearts this morning the things that we need to hear that are especially for each one of us individually. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So if you're part of the human race, and I'm pretty sure everybody in the room is part of the human race, worry just goes with the territory. We just can't help it. I remember when Michael, our oldest son, he's 32 now, when he was about to go into the fourth grade, I was tucking him into his bunk bed and we would pray with our kids. And the very next day was the first day of school and he started to cry. I said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And he says, "I heard that math in the fourth grade is really hard." Well, he was in the gifted program. I was pretty sure he was going to do okay. But it just broke my heart that my little boy was crying and full of anxiety and worry over fourth grade math. And I also was thinking I probably couldn't help him because they teach math different now than they did when I was a kid. So the problem is, though, is that worry is just a natural human response to the future, because the future is unknown. And so we have all these what ifs that just, well, what if this and what if that and what if, what if, what if? And as a mother, this is really bad on moms. I remember when my kids were little, like toddler stage, and I was, you know, what if they get into the cleaning supplies and they get poisoned? Well, they made it through that stage. Then there was a whole new set of worries. Well, when they get into elementary school, what if their teacher's not so nice? Or what if the other kids pick on them? They make it all the way through that, and then they're teenagers, and they start to learn how to drive, and oh boy, you know what the what ifs are there. You know, and it just never ends. And even though my children are all grown now, everybody's healthy, everybody's doing well, I'm still doing that what if thing as a mother. Is anybody else as a mom? Yep. Okay, thank you. Well, you know, I think, okay, so here's another what if. What if Jesus had come to me when my kids were little and taken me by the hands and just looked straight into my face and said, "Jody, I've got them covered. You know, I'm going to take care of everything." Do you think I could have relaxed a little bit? Well, what if Jesus came to your house today after church and sat down at the kitchen table with you and took your hands and just looked right into your face and goes, "I got it covered"? Do you think you might be able to relax? But then we'd go right back to worrying, wouldn't we? So there are these two guys, both of them brilliant theologians, both deceased now, rather recently actually. One is John Stott, he's British. The other one is Dallas Willard, he's American. And they both talked about worry. John Stott, the British guy, said, "Worry is, frankly, stupid." Doesn't sound very British, does it? And Dallas Willard, the American guy, said, "Anxiety is fruitless and pointless." Two guys, brilliant theologians, they both said, "Worry is stupid, pointless, and fruitless." How could they say that? Well, both these men have studied the teachings and the life of Jesus for decades and tried to live by the teachings of Jesus, and both of them knew that no matter what happened in the course of their lifetime, in spite of tragedies and hardships, they knew that their story ends well. They knew that when they die, they're going to be in heaven with Christ for eternity, no matter what happens in the meantime. But, you know, even knowing that, that sounds good on paper, we still struggle with worry. And so this morning, most of you probably know that Kent and I have become pretty good friends with Jonathan Clark and his kids. So yesterday afternoon, John told me he wasn't feeling very well. And I go, oh, that's too bad. Well, then he texts me. He sends me a Facebook message at 3 a.m. this morning. And I don't know why, but I woke up and I heard it. That little ding on your phone. He said, I have pancreatitis, you know. They said people can die from this. I'm really scared. Sorry, I won't be at church tomorrow. Well, I didn't go back to sleep like for 2 or 3 hours. I was just tossing and turning, worried about him, worried about his kids. I go, Jody, you're preaching on worry in the morning. So I share that with you just to let you know that I'm a hypocrite. I don't really practice what I preach. I try, but I'm still subject to worry just as much as everybody else. And here's Jesus, and that's one of the main burdens that we carry around that he would really like us to be free from. And so the passage we have today, if you've got it open on your lap, it I think is the clearest expression of Jesus' teachings about worry. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Jesus says, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Now you notice that Jesus begins his passage with the word therefore, or that is why I tell you. Anytime you see that, you got to go, well, what did he just say prior to that? So if I came up to you and I said, well, therefore you shouldn't worry, you'd be going, what? What do you mean, therefore, or that is why? So if we look at the passage just before this one, Jesus is saying in really very blunt language, he didn't mince words, he said it is absolutely impossible to serve both God and money at the same time. It cannot be done. Choose one. You can't serve God and money simultaneously. And then he goes on to say, if you're smart, you will invest in the things of heaven, which are eternal, rather than the things of earth, which, you know, end up a pile of dust at the end of the day, or in the case of Northern California, literally end up a pile of ashes. Invest in the things that are eternal. Treasure the things that God treasures. So you might ask, okay, well, what does God treasure? People. And people are eternal. Even though our bodies die, we have a spirit, and that spirit lives forever. So no matter what happens to our bodies, we still are eternal creatures. And God cares most about people and about relationships, about justice, and about mercy. And these are not things that you can store in your attic or in your basement or hang up on the wall, right? These are the things that matter to God. So Jesus is saying, if you're smart and you're storing up treasures in heaven rather than treasures on earth, you don't need to worry. Why? Because your stuff is safe, because it's in heaven. Make sense? So he's saying your life story has a happy ending. No matter what happens between now and when you die, no matter what kind of hardships, no matter what kind of tragedies befall you, the story ends on a happy note because you're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. And that's why John Stott and Dallas Willard would say worry is, frankly, stupid, which I said to myself over and over between 3 and 5 o'clock this morning, but I couldn't turn off the worry. But anyway, in today's passage, Jesus, I just touched something in my, these touch screens are really cool. Come back. Don't laugh at me, Janet. Dang. Here we go. I'll try not to touch it so much. Okay, did you notice the three things that Jesus says the world runs after that dominate people's thinking? Food, drink, and clothing, right? These are the things that the world runs after. And all these things have to do with our physical bodies. And so if somebody from the outside were to come and look at our culture, what would they think is most important to us? Taking care of our bodies, feeding our bodies, pampering our bodies, and showing our bodies off, depending on who you are, of course. But I think it's really mind-boggling to consider all the products out there for whitening our teeth, coloring our hair, making up our face, getting a smoother shave, stopping our perspiration, replenishing our fluids with sports drinks, making our skin soft, removing wrinkles. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And the fashion gods are just as crazy. Have you ever noticed what the women wear and what the men wear at a gala event? Or at the Academy Awards? Women have as much skin showing as possible. Backless dresses, plunging necklines, everything's exposed, legs exposed. What do the men have on? They are covered from here to their ankles, and they have a jacket on top. What does that mean? The women are freezing, and the men are sweating to death. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But the fashion gods tell us this is what we have to do, and we obey the fashion gods. And when you think about the money and energy poured into food and drink, it's just as silly. I mean, really, when you're standing there trying to order a cup of coffee, how many different ways can you make a cup of coffee? And I love Keurig machines, but I have to laugh at those little spinny things where you can put all the little Keurig cup dealy bobs in. You all know what I'm talking about, right? Except people go, I don't drink coffee, I have no idea. They have so many different flavors and options. It's just astronomical. And it's crazy. And the sports drinks and the cereal aisle, have you ever tried to find a particular cereal in the cereal aisle? It goes from here to here. It's nuts, the variety we have. And why do we have so much variety? It's because the advertising industry and the people who make this kind of stuff, they are hitting a raw nerve within us. Obviously, we need food and drink and clothing, but they're targeting the things that we're worried about, our desires. So they want to give us as many options as possible, even though it's nuts to have so many. But I think they're also feeding on our fears that we won't be attractive enough. If we don't wear a certain kind of clothing or have our hair a certain kind of way, then we won't be attractive and people won't love us. Don't you think that's exactly what they're doing? And all the advertisements that you see? And so if somebody from the outside world would get the distinct impression that the only thing we cared about was pampering our bodies, taking care of our bodies, preserving our bodies, and showing them off. And it's as though we were nothing but bodies and forgetting, you know, there is a spirit inside that body, and the spirit inside the body is way more important than the body itself. So Jesus is wanting to give us an alternative way of looking at ourselves. He says life is a lot more than just taking care of your bodies. Your bodies matter. Jesus cares very much about our bodies. He's always healing people and raising them from the dead. But That shouldn't be the focus of our attention. The focus of our attention should be the kingdom of God and the things that God really cares about. Remember what those are? People, relationships, justice, and mercy. That's what matters to God. And so when Jesus tells us not to worry about food and drink, he's not recommending that we don't take any action to provide for ourselves. And in fact, we need to realize that there's a huge, massive distinction between worry on the one hand and concern on the other. Worry, the root word for worry is to strangle. So you're immobilized and you're like a deer caught in the headlight and you can't even function when you're full of worry. Concern, on the other hand, says, oh, I see a problem that needs addressing, and you take action and you do something about it. So worry is a waste of time. Having concern about something is time well spent. Now, before I get into why worry is a waste of time and stupid, as, excuse me, Dallas Willard would say, I have to make three disclaimers. Now, the passage you just read with me, where Jesus says, don't worry about your life and all these things. Your Father knows you need these things. He will provide. Does not mean that Christians are exempt from earning a living. We are supposed to work. God doesn't go out there for the birds and make the nest for them and forage for the food for them and drop the worms in their mouth, does he? No. We are supposed to work ourselves, unless you're totally disabled and unable to work. But nobody's supposed to sit around idle. Secondly, it does not mean that we Christians don't have to worry about feeding the hungry and going, well, Jesus said God will take care of them. Well, yeah, when people are hungry and it's not their own fault, how does God take care of the hungry? Anybody? Through us, right? Yeah. The ones who have plenty, we are God's vessel for feeding those who don't have enough. So we can't just ignore the poor and the hungry and go, oh, well, sucks to be you. We just have the time, the attitude a lot of us have. And the third disclaimer is this passage does not mean that Christians are exempt from trouble. A lot of people might read this and go, well, it didn't work out so well for me. Jesus said, in this world, you will have many troubles. But take heart. I have overcome the world. I'm sorry, but Christians don't get a discount on suffering. I sure would like to think that we do, but we don't. Terrible things happen to Christians as much as non-Christians. The difference is we are in Christ. We are in God. We know what happens to us after we die. We know what happens to our loved one when they die. We know that we are safe in his care and that he will never leave us or forsake us. So just to recap really quickly, the three disclaimers are this passage does not mean that you as a Christian are exempt from earning a living. It doesn't mean that you as a Christian are exempt from feeding the hungry. And it doesn't mean that you as a Christian are exempt from trouble and hardship. So then, why does Jesus tell us not to worry? Well, for two reasons. The first is, he says, where's your faith? Did you catch that when he said that? It kind of made me feel bad. Well, you know, I don't think Jesus is teaching this because he wants to make you feel guilty. I think he wants to reassure you that it's really not necessary to worry. And so he asked the rhetorical question. Let me ask you the rhetorical question. What's more important, your physical body or the clothes that you're wearing on your body? Your body. Right? And Jesus says, guys, your body is way more important than the clothes. Don't you think God, who created your body, is going to provide you with the clothing you need? And same question with the birds and the flowers. He goes, what do you think God cares more about? Birds and flowers or you? Yeah. I hope you know that. And this is what I think is especially interesting. When Jesus is talking about birds, the particular bird he's talking about is a crow, which is on the bottom of the barrel of the food chain of unclean foods for a good Jew. In essence, Jesus is saying, if God feeds a crow, which is totally disgusting, don't you think he's going to take care of you and feed you too? And so Jesus is saying, look, guys, where's your faith? Of course God is going to provide for you. Now, the second thing that Jesus is saying, that worry is incompatible with common sense. So most of you know I go to this Bible study on Thursday mornings, and one of the ladies in Bible study this past Thursday had just returned after having a heart ablation because she had arrhythmia in her heart. It went really well, no big deal. She was feeling great, everything went fine. But for weeks up to her procedure, she was so full of anxiety, constantly asking for prayer. You know, we laid hands on her and prayed for her. And I don't want to downplay the procedure, but she was so consumed with worry and anxiety. And then as she's telling us Thursday about the procedure, she said, well, to be honest, the anxiety leading up to it was a lot worse than the actual procedure. And isn't that the case so much of the time? And so it's just not logical to worry because it doesn't help. It doesn't accomplish anything. It doesn't make your situation any better or worse. It just means that you're going to suffer. You know, Mark Twain once quipped, he says, I'm an old man and I've seen a lot of trouble, but most of them never happened. And that's what happened to my girlfriend, Helen. Okay, so if worry is illogical and it's incompatible with our faith, what's the alternative to worry? Jesus tells that he gives us two alternatives. The first one is to seek the kingdom of God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, or to seek the kingdom of God above all else. And this is a really challenging question because now we have to ask ourselves, and in fact, Miss Vicki touched on it in the children's story. What's your ambition? What drives you? What do you long for? If you're saying, well, the thing that drives me is I want to make a lot of money. Well, Jesus says, if that's what drives you, you cannot seek the kingdom of God simultaneously. It can't be done. Well, is your ambition to be the most important person in the room? To be the smartest guy in the room? To be the most beautiful person in the room? If that's your ambition, you're not seeking the kingdom of God. And what do you long for? To have the latest and greatest new iPhone or the best new pickup truck or the most beautiful house? What we should be longing for is to see other people coming to Christ, to see people's lives changed and transformed as we ourselves are seeking those same things for ourselves. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God, to please Him. And if we'll do that, then all these other things would just fade by comparison. And then the last piece of advice Jesus has, my mom actually has it on a frame on the wall. Right at the very end, he says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Bottom line, one day at a time. You know how a calendar has all those little boxes? Stay in this box right here. Sunday, don't go Monday's worries, I'm going to put them in here too. Oh, Tuesday's, put them over here. That's dumb, but we do it. Stay in one box, one day at a time, and He will give you the grace to get through whatever that day is holding for you. So in a nutshell, I'll just tell you to remember this one thing. Worry about nothing, but pray about everything. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, it's so easy to say, worry about nothing, pray about everything, but it's so hard to do, especially in the middle of the night. God, I ask that you would help each one of us deal with whatever anxieties and worries that we may be battling or wrestling with right now, that we could take this teaching of Jesus and really and truly apply it to our hearts, that we could be set free from the burden of the anxiety and worry that robs us of joy, robs us of sleep, and paralyzes us. When we do have a situation that needs attention, oh God, I just ask that you would give us wisdom to know what we can do and to do it and leave the rest in your hands. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.